Sponsored by vivagreen-greensax.com, compostable bags for home and garden.
103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Sod Show on Dublin City FM with Brian Green, Peter Donegan and Katrina Redmond. We've got a great show for you today. We'll be talking with Nicky Langton from Waterford IT. Peter Donegan in interview coming up in a few moments' time. Brought to you in association with Greensax, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at viva-greensax.com. Viva-greensax.com, or check them out in the supermarket where you can drop them into your trolley. Yes, it's been a weird week weather-wise. We've had thunder. We've had hail the size of, people say, golf balls. But come on, they're Maltesers, really, aren't they? That was April, and April does what April likes to do. April showers. Now we're into May. It's a new month, and it's May Day. So happy May Day to all our listeners. We have had the sun, and we have had the hail. So perhaps we can get some nice temperatures continuing through May and get that growing going. The grass, have you seen how quickly it's been growing? It's been growing quite fast, which means more care for the garden is needed in this time of the year versus, you know, from kind of September to February. Not a lot grows at all, really, does it? Come on. Coming up on today's show, an interview with a guy who he's found an unusual route into horticulture. He's got a love of racecourses and dogs and greyhounds and all that kind of thing. He'll tell you the story himself. He's in conversation with Peter Donegan, and he is Nicky Langton from Waterford IT.
103.2 Dublin City FM. It is indeed the Sod Show. It's a Friday afternoon. In my company is
Nicky Langton.
Nicky, you are one of the few, many students that we have had on the Sod Show. You are studying in Waterford Institute. You're doing the degree horticulture course that you're doing?
Yeah, that's right, the degree horticulture in third year. I'm in third year at the moment.
What's the background, Nicky? Are the parents gardeners? Were you a farmer? Are you the son of a gardener? Was your granddad a gardener? How did you end up doing what I'm gathering at this stage of the game is something that you love quite dearly?
Well, not really. I kind of just live in a basic house in the suburb of Kilkenny, and I got interested in gardening really through. I have a big interest in greyhounds, but I want to one reason why I picked horticulture, I wanted to have a state-of-the-art facility to train my ground so that when I, like, the outside area, I wanted to be perfect, like, for training them. Like, with all the fences and that, I just wanted perfect. And that was one reason why I picked it.
I'm kind of picturing that I don't bet on horses, and I just see horses as like tall dogs, really. Like, that's how much I know about them, but I do see the odd time when they do the Grand National kind of stuff, and they show the stables, and they're immaculate, and they've floral displays in the centre, and the fencing is just, I'm not looking at the horses, I'm just looking at the fencing. It is pinpoint perfection. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, kind of that type of area, because I was always interested in just outside work, so that's why I wanted to do it. It's kind of that kind of industry I want to go into, that the kind of racing industry, kind of. Being a clerk of a course would be my ideal job. A clerk of a course is where you go around and testing the ground and testing all the, making sure that the jumps are perfect and all the rest.
So when we hear on the radio, and I'm doing my equivalent of the weatherman, you know, there's a warm front coming in and there's a low pressure, and you're kind of going, what the blazes are you talking about? Is it going to rain tomorrow? In context, to analogize into horse racing terms, because I don't want about greyhounds either, and I hear them say that the ground is soft. Would you be the man then that would go up and check if the ground is soft? Are you that kind of a fella?
Yeah, that's correct. You for the weather forecast, you need 7 days. So you're looking at the 7 days, or the weather 7 days prior to the race meeting, so that you know exactly on each day what the ground is like, and so the day on the day of the race meeting, you'll nearly know exactly what the ground is like. Where you get a stick and you put it into the ground. This is how you. This is the method how you go about doing it. You stick it into the ground, and you can actually see how far. It depends on the weight you're putting in your stick into the ground, and it's kind of it'd be kind of specific, like how the weight. And when you pick the stick up, it's kind of the level of the soil that comes up along the stick will indicate how soft the ground is or how hard it is. Or
so when they say on the telly that the ground is, I don't know, make up a term. No, don't make up a term. Give me a genuine term that I might hear in the television about the ground being soft or hard or whatever the case may be.
Yielding to soft would be one, where yielding is where you kind of have a mixture of both. Where it'd be kind of spongy ground, where you'd have it be solid enough, but still there's this bit give in the ground that you'd be able to move through it. Like,
okay, so let me backtrack on this one, because for those in a domestic back garden, you may, and I am picking a stereotypical, you know that dude who does the what it says on the tin thing, and he's one neighbour is painting the fence by hand and the other has a spray gun that he bought down in his local super duper garden centre superstore, right, and his grass is green and he puts weed all or something crap on it, and sorry, no offence, but he puts something on it, a product which makes it look like glorious, like it's being photoshopped, like one of those gorgeous looking models that I never look at on the television screen as well, but in the green context, you get where I'm coming from. Okay, that bit, well, that in my head is you get a new row of lawn and that's kind of what it looks like, and you can use your garden soil, I'm using very simplistic terms here for good reason, just to I'll get to where I'm going in a minute, bear with me folks, bear with me, but it's laid onto, let's say, a couple of mil of compost or sand, and it's laid on top of your existing garden soil. How are the tracks done for greyhound racing? Is the preparation of the soil anything different to that? Is it laid the same as Croke Park? Is it, how does that all work?
Well, with greyhounds and horse racing, would be with the grass that has to be perfect. That it's they even sprayed with a liquid before the race, and so that's perfect green grass, like that there'll be nothing shown, that it'll be, so they need it really for revenue, for the money from televisions, so that the sponsorship, they need to see that the race track is looking well, so that they're able to put in a fertilizer that'll make sure that the grass is green for the day of the race.
Have you ever laid lawns for greyhound racing? Have you ever prepared that kind of, have you ever done that kind of work?
No, I haven't done that, but sorry.
Okay, so if I was to take a side section, so if you can imagine putting splitting the earth down the middle, do you know the way it might take, for those listening at home and podcasts, you might take a slice off the side of a cheesecake and you can see how deep the biscuit is, and then you can see how deep the soft bit is on top. If I did that on this, and I cut the side off of a greyhound racing track, in short, what I'd see is the green grassy bits at the top, and then there'd obviously be the root parts. Underneath that, is it compost? Is it sand? Do you know what it's laid on?
No, it's just usually, well, horse racing track would be usually just, it's just a pure open site, like, that they buy the land and they just kind of race on it, but they wouldn't, it's kind of just, it's the natural, like, okay. It's the natural field.
Okay, got that clear, perfect. And then it's the stick testing in, which then tells us how soft or whatever the case may be to it. And outside of that, the only other additions are maybe quirks, you might call it, that they might fix in it, is the addition of a bit of fertilizer to green the place up.
Yeah.
I have that correct.
Yeah, yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. How does you're a young enough fella, you're not 30, I'm gathering?
No, I'm 24 years of age.
How does a young man end up being into greyhounds with a side order of a very large side order of horticultural knowledge? And I mean, you know, if you wanted to get into the greyhounds, you probably would be doing it by now, but at the same token, you're still doing the greyhounds, but you're going through college, you're in year three, so you're a smart boy, you're not a stupid kid by any means, but of the imagination. How and why did you decide to get into that? It baffles me, because it's like being into car racing, but you've decided you like the colour of the bollards. So, right, that's a really bad analogy, but to put it to an extreme, is that a fair way to put it?
That is a fair way of putting it, but I always had the interest in greyhounds, but I always had an interest on outside life. I wasn't an inside person. If you put me down in a room, I wouldn't be able to sit still for 5 minutes. So I'm better off outside doing a bit of work. And that's just the way I like it. I don't want to be a farmer. I just want to do my horticulturist, and I like my flowers and I like the grass. And that's the reason why I went into it. And
so for those who aren't aware, Nicky kind of looks like the fella you'd put into the front scrum of a rugby match. And Brian O'Driscoll, he'd flatten him, and Paul O'Connell, he might have a kind of a good go at him. You hit the nail on the head, maybe, and you just noted, like, I like flowers. So I'm gathering, when you go back to the lads at the Greyhound track and you're talking about amaryllis and you're talking about, you know, poinsettias and, you know, taking some lovely armerias apart and dissecting them, you know, got it pollen all over my hands. Do you get, like, major stick over that? Do you get a hard time off the lads? Are they lads and you're kind of getting a bit of stick for being a bit soft? Is that a fair way to put it?
It is a fair way of putting it. Like, I do, because you get a bit of stick, because a lot of my friends would be farmers and they'd have a different perception on horticulture. But as I said, there's no point in looking back. I choose horticulture and they choose farming, and that's why I choose horticulture. I prefer that sort of thing. And
it's all good banter, as a by the way, but there's banter nonetheless.
Exactly. And it's all fun and games, but everyone's happy.
Okay, speaking of fun and games, Brian Green is back in the studio, a person I regularly have banter with. Brian, song of the week time, and I don't know. If you've got a favourite band, Nicky, you better be careful in this choice, by the way. There's only one real answer to this one. Who is your favourite band, or have you got a favourite song?
No, I have nothing. No.
Yeah, play on you want, Brian. There you go. And you heard it from the man. If you don't believe it, Nicky will go up and give you a piece of his mind. Okay, we'll talk to you in part two of the show.
Oh, I do love it when people pick a song. But I love it more when they don't, because that means I can pick a song. Sod Show Song of the Week time. And we try to do something apt or something connected with horticulture, plants growing, the weather. We've been doing this show for just a little over 4 years. Show number 206 today, so we run out of apt tunes and puns and songs, but not today, because we've never played this song before. I can guarantee you we've never played it before. It's from 1968, it's from a band called The Who, and it's all about dog racing, greyhounds. This is Dogs.
We met, you were a kennel maid. You gave me a tip, I got me full calves paid. You were holding the greyhound in trap number one. Your white coat was shining in the afternoon sun.
It's the way that I'm coming here with Flash, young man.
Hey, what dog's that?
It's a Duke's dog, isn't it?
We put all our money on a dog that we like. A kiss and a cuddle, an off-leash pie, $2 tickets and a starry sky. There was nothing in my life bigger than fear.
page packet hoarded. I'll put 25 nicker, please, on yellow printer. Oh, I hope the wife didn't find out. Yes, it's short of wheel, isn't it? Yes, I know, it's a good dog. I saw it run at White City just last week. Broke the record. Yellow printer, nice dog. It's lovely form. Lovely buttocks.
Yeah, The Who from 1968 and Dogs. Yeah. We like to play apt tunes here on The Sod Show, 103.2 Dublin City FM. And you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Sod Show. I think I better take that needle off the record. Very good. Okay. And on with the show, facebook.com/The Sod Show. And if you want to email us, if you would like to send in any information to The Sod Show, you can email us during the week. The email address is info@sodshow.com. Now let's get back to Peter Donegan. He's going to tell you how you can get in touch with The Sod Show again.
103.2 Dublin City FM, back on part two of The Sod Show. And as Brian just noted, at Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/The Sod Show, and sodshow.com for all of the back catalogue and today's show notes, including a beautiful picture of Nicky and maybe myself alongside him. I doubt it. Nicky, we touched on it earlier on, maybe a little bit, the bit of stick from the lads and the bit of banter that kind of goes with it, all in the goodest, nicest sense of saying. So how proud were your folks? Because, again, it's no mean feat to go through 3 years of studying horticulture at all. How proud are they of their son? Was it a case of that everything you did would have been good by mom's standard anyway? And that's across the board for Irish sons, generally speaking, isn't it? You could run down a giraffe in this country if your mom was Irish, and sure, my son didn't mean it, he wouldn't do a thing like that. How genuine and a serious note, and you wouldn't find a giraffe on the M50, it's only a fictitious giraffe, or I'm joking. Okay, I've run that one a bit over course, but how proud is mom?
She's very proud of me. Well, I like to think she is, but it's kind of, I work kind of with my mother in that, if I do a bit of work at home, she'll say, "Grand, no problem. I'd be able to work away at home. She won't mind." As where if when I'm in college, I've gone through 3 tough years now at this stage, and she kind of has my full back. And if I fail an exam, she won't mind. But she'll just, you know, she'll get on with it. And she just keeps telling me to do your best. And that suits me down to the ground.
I know you say if you fail the exams, that she'd kind of say, "Well, you did your best." Is there a little chip? I know there's one inside my head, which it's not so much must do better for the sake of, I don't know how you say it, it's like a challenge to myself. Does that click a switch with you? Do you resonate with that one?
Definitely. I like a challenge. I failed just one exam in first year, and I was bitterly disappointed with it. But the next time I passed it, and I did very well. So that was a challenge that I passed, and that's the way life is. Like, there's no point in, if you fail on one thing, doesn't mean that the next thing will be a failure. Just keep going and you'll eventually get your goal.
What do you think of the grounds now? You've got like qualifications in horticulture. What do you think of the grounds in Waterford Institute? If I was to give you a large machine, a tracks machine, and let you run over the place, would you change them? Did you think it was glorious when you first came in? Have you matured as a gardener, even though you're still a young man? Do you see things differently?
Definitely. I like the Waterford IT. The surroundings is grand. It's probably basic for an inside town area. But like, there is changes that can be made. Like, I think as a place where you go to study, you need brightness in the area. I'd like to see a place maybe with more colours all year round. I know winter is a bad time for flowering, but if yet there is certain flowers out there that will flower in winter time. So why not bring in a few, just to lay them around and have colour every time of the year? Because when it comes to studying in for the Christmas exams, like you're there and you're looking out the window of the study hall and you're seeing just dull plants and you're like, come on, like all you want is a bit of light outside to kind of encourage you to go out there and study more and study harder.
We shall have a strongly worded letter memoed to the head of Waterford Institute of Technology. Brian, call my secretary and tell her to, I don't know, send a telex as soon as you can, something along those lines. I know we spoke about it a little bit in depth in part one, but in order to have your own grounds in which you can do the greyhound thing, land obviously is going to cost money, and stables cost money. Is there a big grand business plan in there somewhere? Is there a bit where the greyhounds will win medals and you'll win medals for the grounds? Is that, am I going to come back without the Sideshow microphone, or with the Sideshow microphone in 10 years time, and you just turn around sitting back with a cigar and a glass of brandy saying, see, I told you this was always going to be the way it was, it was in the plan, I just never told you at the time? Is there one of them?
There isn't a plan like that at the moment, but where I want to go in future life is I want to be working for someone else. I don't want to be my own business person, even though I'd love to be my own business person. I can't, I don't know, it's probably down the line and you'd probably need a massive amount of money, but wait and see, and it might, you never know.
Well, I've never given up on any of the dreams I had, and some of them, surprisingly, most of them, I think, when I put my mind to it, have come true. How come you've seemed such a happy shit? Like, I mean, you've not stopped smiling since I've met you, and I don't think it's because of my aftershave or the colour of my shirt. It's what is it? Is it the horticulture bug? Is it the Cara T. Daly syndrome, as I'm now calling it, that everybody that she touches just turns to gold? Is there an element of that about it?
I just want to get on with life. There's no point in dwelling on things, so I'll just be happy as the person I always will be. And flowers brings that to you. Like, you go out and today was a lovely day for the most part of the morning, and then this evening wasn't so, but that's life. And like, the morning was lovely and bright, and this evening wasn't so, but like, days change and flowers change, and that's, you just get on with life. So it's a roller coaster.
A roller coaster indeed. If I was to ask you, what flowers would you pick for Mom, if I was to give you carte blanche, let you go for broke, what would you give her?
My mother is special, so I always give her good rose. A rose would be always special, a red rose.
If Rosanna Davison, she is the fictitious woman of somebody's dreams, definitely not mine, no, not at all. But should she walk into the Institute and say, Nikki, where are you? Where's those flowers? You got me because you love me so much, to go with the poem that you wrote me. What would you give her? It better not be as good as the one you just gave your mother.
I don't know. I'll
re-ask that question so Nikki doesn't get into trouble. What flowers would you recommend a gentleman give a lady who he loved or maybe wanted to court, to use the old terms?
Sure, like, you're talking, maybe roses are the natural ones, but like, there is so many arranges out there that maybe few chrysanthemums or something kind of like that, kind of different, you know, different flowering ones. Or,
and if I was to say, at Christmas time, did you give your mom a pot plant this year? Did you buy her a horticultural arrangement of some form? What did you get your mom?
No, I didn't. But I like to, every so often, I'll always bring home a present to my mother.
There you go. Wow, he's going to tell you something. He's getting steak and chips tonight for dinner. That's just the way it goes. Nikki, it's been a real genuine pleasure talking to you. If there were or was another young man out there who wanted to go and study horticulture in Waterford and wherever the case may be, like, what words of advice would you have for them? What would you suggest? What would you recommend that they do or make sure that they have in their arsenal before they go do that?
Before, I'd advise anyone to come to Waterford, especially because, well, in Kildalton, you have all your teachers out there and they're brilliant because they know, like, that's what they specialise in there and they know exactly. And then in Waterford, they know themselves and they're very good at what they do. So, but one thing I will say coming into doing horticulture, just be yourself. And when you go to do a project, make sure that you do a project the way you want it, not the way anyone else wants it. People tell you this and that. Just do everything your own way. There's no point in listening to other people about projects and about studying. You make up your own study plans. Just be yourself.
And if you don't want to be yourself, then be somebody a hell of a lot better than you are yourself. I don't know, like Jimi Hendrix or something. No, on a genuine serious note, if you don't believe Nicky's advice, he's heading on into year four, and you can't really argue with that. They kind of speak for itself, the facts, that is. Nicky, a pleasure genuinely talking to you. You happy shit.
Yep, thank you.
Brian from Giggly Waterford, it's back to you in the studio. I'll talk to you shortly. Cheers, man.
Thanks, Nicky, and thanks, Peter. Yes, that's a lot of shows we've done from Waterford IT, and I'm thinking those guys have enough material down there to have their own sod show, their own little horticulture radio station, younghorts.fm, or something like that. If they're interested, get in touch. We can point you in the right direction. 103.2 Dublin City FM, broadcasting to Dublin and its wonderful, gorgeous city on May Day in Ireland. Good afternoon to you. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch, we have said it's at Sodshow on Twitter. We just keep hitting refresh to see how many times you send us messages on Twitter. Keep doing it. info@sodshow.com on the email. And you can get in touch on Facebook, where we put up some photos and news. facebook.com/thesodshow. Also, Katrina, our blogger and person who puts up the podcast each Friday evening for tea time, puts stuff up at sodshow.com/news from time to time. So check that out too. That's about it. Until next Friday at 3 p.m. It's been a gas. On behalf of Peter Donegan, on behalf of Katrina Redmond, I'm Brian Green, thanking our sponsors, Greensacks, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out at viva-greensacks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.